السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا، واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها، صدق الله العظيم. Ulama e Kiram, most respected brothers, this is part of an ayat which I have recited. Throughout the world, wherever you go, there is nothing but conflict situations. Wherever in the world you travel, whether it is Muslim countries or non-Muslim countries, whether it is Haramain, Sharifain, or whether it is Palestine, or Iraq, or Iran, wherever you see, there's nothing but conflicts, conflicts, conflicts. People are at the throats of one another. It seems like everybody seems to get some kind of an enjoyment in the taking of lives. Life has become extremely cheap commodity. And yet so much of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qudrat was used for the coming into this world of just one little baby. If you have to look at all that was used, the heavens and the earth, so many things of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ni'mats were used before that one little baby came into this world. And then again in the nurturing and in the upbringing and the growing of the child, so much of ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now when that person reaches the age of maturity or becomes a sane and intelligent person, then the person wants to take others' lives. Supposed to be an intelligent person. Life can be taken if there is a necessity. You take a life for a life after following the due processes. That is a different story. But here there is nothing but just killings, killings and killings. Now if we have to look at the Quran Sharif and we have to look at the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then we find that this was no different in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Before he came to this world as a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and before he invited the people towards the deen of Islam, this was exactly their lifestyle. Murders, killings, rape, arson, looting, burning, raping. This was the lifestyle. Drinking, gambling. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, through the Quran Sharif and through his beautiful example, within a short space of time, in 23 years of his life, and those 23 years also of Nubuwwat we are talking about, the 23 years of life of Nubuwwat. Of that, the 13 years in Makkatul Mukarrama, who does not know how difficult and trying times he had to go through. If you have to take out the 3 years of the Fatrat of Wahi, then you take the 3 years of the ostracism and the boycott, what was left? Then in Madina Sharif again, from there he had to contend with the battle of Badr, battle of Uhud, battle of Khandaq, and so many things. But yet there was such a kind of dynamic effect in the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that within a short space of time he transformed that whole society. The whole society, not one person was left in that society that was not changed. This was of course the miracle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that each and every companion of his, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as you have heard many times, he gave them the certificate. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah ta'ala pleased with them and they were pleased with Allah ta'ala. Now this pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not come just because they accepted Islam. This pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the certificate or the guarantee that Allah ta'ala gave, it didn't come just because they accepted Islam. And after accepting Islam, they continued with all their evils that they were practicing prior to Islam. They continued with their fighting, they continued with their drinking, they continued with their gambling, they continued with all the evil actions and deeds. But just because they said that we have believed in you, O Allah, and in your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so therefore Allah ta'ala became pleased and gave them this guarantee, certificate. Radiyallahu anhum wa radwan. We all know that that was not the case. The Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajmain were very, very honest. Even in their kufr, they were honest about it. That until they didn't truly believe that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what he brought was haqq, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a truly a messenger of Allah ta'ala, until then they were not prepared to say just La ilaha illallah. All they were required to do was to say La ilaha illallah and they will get success. But they were not prepared to say that, because they knew that that La ilaha illallah does not only mean that we say it with our tongues. They knew that it means a total transformation of our lives. I've given that example that in nikah, a person says, Nakahtuha qabiltuha, I've accepted her in my marriage. Now after he has accepted the woman in her marriage, then we won't call any husband a sensible husband. We will say he's stupid, he's mad, he must go to the asylum, if he has to say that the only thing I said, that I accept you as my wife. But I'm not going to give you any clothes, any shelter, any provisions. I'm not going to take care of you, because I didn't accept all that in front of the Imam. The Imam said, do you accept her in your marriage? I said, yes, I accept. Finish. That's only one word I accept. But we all know that that one word, I accept her in my marriage, brought so much of responsibilities and obligations and so much of rights and duties. So in the same way, these people knew that just La ilaha illallah is not sufficient. It brings a lot of obligations, duties and responsibilities. So when they accepted it with their hearts, and they brought about a change in their lives, and that is what brought the unity, that is what brought them, made them into one ummah. Now at present we know that nowhere in the world can we claim that we are one ummah. We can say that how much we like. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala kept everything in oneness. Unity is in oneness. Unity has to be a unit. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is one. Kaabatullah Sharif is one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one. The Quran Sharif is one. So now if we want unity, then all these things have to be taken into consideration. Therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast onto the rope of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and do not be disunited. Now holding fast to this rope of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is the Quran Sharif, he says, jami'an, all of you. Father is holding on to the rope, but the son is not holding on. The husband is holding on to the rope, the wife is not holding on. The wife is holding on to the rope, she is doing her namaz, roza, zakat, and she is obeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but the husband is not holding on. In one family, in one home, people are not holding on to the Quran Sharif as they should be holding. So then there's going to be disunity. Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is making it conditional that this unity will only come about if everybody holds on firmly to the Quran Sharif. Until then, there's not going to be unity. No matter how much we spend for the sake of unity, it's not going to work. No matter how many conferences and seminars and get-togethers we have of all kinds, it's not going to work. So much so that these gatherings that we have, which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala kept, and one of the wisdom of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala behind these gatherings is unity. If we look at our five times salat, the people of the neighborhood, they come there and perform the salat with jamaat. Now that should have created unity, at least in the people of the neighborhood. All the people of that area that are around that masjid, it should have created unity. Then we have the Jummah salat, that people from far distances, they come and they participate in the Jummah congregation. So that should have increased the unity. Then we have the Eidgahs twice a year, Eidul Fitr and Eidul Adha. Now there are thousands of people from different villages and around. They come and they get together. Now that should have united them even more. And then we have our Hajj, where millions of people get together. And even outside Hajj, then we find millions of people coming and going Makkatul Mukarrama. So there should have been so much of unity in the Muslim Ummah. Then why is it that even two people don't seem to be united? Two Muslim countries don't seem to be getting along. Two parties of the same Muslim country seem to be at loggerheads. Just look at the killings that are taking place. And who is killing whom? We all are shouting unity, we all are shouting Palestine, we all are shouting Iraq, and we all are shouting over the other Muslim countries. Indeed, there's a great concern, but we say the enemies are making them fight. Enemies are making them fight. What else are the enemies going to do? Enemies going to make them unite. If we are complaining about the enemies making them fight, and enemies dividing and ruling, and enemies pitting one against the other, on the one hand, we are seeing the destruction in Palestine of a level that is unimaginable. It slices our hearts. It deeply hurts, grieves. On the one hand, we are seeing what kind of suffering the women, the children, the innocent are going through. And then again, we have the two parties, the Fatah and the Hamas. They were brought over to Makkatul Mukarrama and they made some kind of agreement. They took some kind of pledges and made some kind of promises and some kind of qasam they took in the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and when they go back, they again doing the same thing. So it shows that it is all on our lips. It hasn't entered our hearts. So no matter how much qasams you take and no matter how much of pledges and how much of promises and how much of wealth of the world is used to bring about unity, it's not going to bring, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made it conditional that unity has to be on the basis of the Quran Sharif. Not for personal gain, not for land, not for name, not for fame, not for anything else. All these things can never unite a person. People based the unity on so many different factors. Some thought that if all the whites get together, then there'll be unity. In the country, there'll be unity, there'll be happiness, there'll be peace and security. Some places, they think if all the blacks get together, then we are one. Some people, they think if all the rich can be one, the poor can be one. Everybody is forming their parties on different grounds. But all these things are not going to work, because the black cannot become white, and the white cannot become black, unless they paint their faces. All the rich cannot be made to turn poor, and all the poor cannot be made rich. These things cannot unite. Or families, sometimes from a high family, that also cannot be the basis of unity. All these are Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's distribution. Allah Ta'ala made some poor, some rich, some black, some white, some healthy, some sick. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system, there's great wisdom in it. But Allah Ta'ala does not look at all these things. For the sake of unity, it is the Quran and Sunnah. That those who follow that, irrespective of which sector they belong to, But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will unite their hearts. So the unity of hearts will never come about with the spending of money. No matter how much of money the governments of the world can give to this party or that party for the sake of unity, it will not come. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, لَوْ أَنفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ مَا أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. That even if you had to spend, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, that even if you had to spend everything that is in this world, everything. Now who is going to do the spending? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And how much is he going to spend? Everything that is in this world, ma fil ardi jamia, and what is in the world? There's gold mines, there's diamond mines, there's silver, there's oil, and there's everything that you can think of. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if he is given all that and told that now you must spend all this to unite the hearts of these people who were at loggerheads all the time, the Aus and the Khazraj and all the other different parties that were there, and all the different clans and the different tribes, and so much of disunity there was there, that if they had a little bit of argument over some issue, it would have carried on for years and sometimes hundreds of years. That's the kind of life they were leading. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, لَوْ أَنفَقَتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. You will not be, مَا أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. You would not have been able to unite their hearts. Hafiz of Ayat Sayyid Ma'allafa Baina Qulubihim. You would not have been able to unite their hearts. Walakinna Allah Allafa Bainahum. But it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who united, who put unity in their hearts. So who put that unity? It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, with all your wisdom, you being the closest, you being the most beloved, you being the one who is given the most amount of miracles and mu'jizats, you have everything, you are the greatest after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But even if you have to use your wisdom and you have to spend everything that is in the universe for the sake of unity in hearts, you would not have been able to do that. It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who placed that unity. He is the one that united them. Look from what kind of factions they came, what kind of tribal differences they came from and everything else, but they became one ummah. The black, the white, the rich, the poor. Hazrat Suhaib of Rome, Hazrat Bilal of Ethiopia, Abyssinia, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala of the Quraysh, everyone became one. One family they became, one unit they became. It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who put that into their hearts. And why did he put that unity? Because they did what Allah ta'ala had ordered, and that is wa'tasimu bihablillah. They all held on to the Quran Sharif, the teachings of the Quran Sharif. So Allah ta'ala brought unity. Now everywhere people are just searching for political solutions, political solutions, political solutions, and nothing is happening, it's getting worse by the day. Nowhere in the world are we finding any kind of peace and happiness and contentment and satisfaction. In spite of all the wealth that is available now, never in the history of the Muslim Ummah was there so much of wealth in their hands as there is today. Look at Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif. There's nothing but construction, construction, construction. But when it comes to morals and etiquette and akhlaq of the youth and others, read the articles that are appearing there. And listen to the people that are involved in the education and other factors. And they say the amount of corruption and the amount of destruction of morals and the amount of drug abuse and everything that has become so rampant now. Little children even in those places are now on drugs. Recently somebody left one article with me there, and in that article was that they saw some woman in the Western world, she shaved off her head. So the women of Arabia, the young girls, they're also heading for the salons and asking for a complete shave of their heads. And they say this is the effect of watching the television and the movies and reading such kind of literature, that they are influenced to such an extent that they have got absolutely no idea of what Islamic morals and culture is. So now that we are talking about international level, and we get very happy that that's something to do with something that's happening far away. So therefore we all will condemn it and will say, terrible, terrible, and they must change their lives. They're living in Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif, those are cities, holy lands and holy places. They should be changing their lives and they should not be going for these type of... No, we will talk about them. But then we won't look into our own homes. How far away are we? What is the difference in our lives? What is the difference in our homes? What is the difference in our businesses? What is the difference in our cultural lifestyles? The same thing what we are seeing, the same thing what we are hearing, this we are following. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He has got a system. No matter how much we try by means of wealth or conferences and seminars and everything else to bring about unity in the ummah, it's not going to happen. The only thing that is required is that we have to hold firmly and very, very strongly and all together to the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then we will find changes coming. Then when families, when individuals will unite, then families will unite. When families will unite, then after that you will have communities uniting. And communities unite, then nations will unite. And then international communities will unite. But this all seems very, very far away, very, very distant, because even two people cannot seem to be uniting. The hearts are filled with malice, with greed, with pride, with arrogance, with jealousy, with envy. Every person has got nothing but matlab. Jo tha apna matlab, to tha sabse matlab. Until the person had his own selfish desires, so until that time the person is a friend with somebody. But the moment that selfish desire of his has been achieved, then that's the end of unity also. And the same thing is happening in the governments of the world, that they are trying to buy off some kind of support. So they will give millions of dollars or billions of dollars, they will give to this faction or that faction or this party or that party or this government or that government. But all that is just temporary phase. And as soon as the person's maqsad and objective has been achieved, then they will be the ones who will be the ones to start bombing again and destroying. So far too long we have been crying and we're crying and crying about what's happening in Palestine, what's happening in Iraq, what's happening here, what's happening there. And we will have to go on crying, we don't know until when. But it really, really hurts when we find that the Muslims themselves have lost all sense of direction. And there is nothing but just take the lives of the opposition, that's all. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to save lives. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came and gave the Muslim ummah a position of dignity, honor, respect. Wherever they went, people used to look at them and accept Islam. Their character, their akhlaq, their morals and behavior was such that there was a kind of a dynamic attraction in it. As I have mentioned many, many times, that going to Madina Sharif and coming back, it is not sufficient, no matter how many trips we make and come back from there. How many times people go and come, go and come, go and come, sometimes they get even worse than what they were before. Because the Hajre Aswad is a touchstone. When you touch that Hajre Aswad, it's no joke. The person who had his weaknesses, shortcomings and other kind of problems in his life, if he touched the Hajre Aswad with sincerity and with made sincere tawbah from all his sins, made up his mind that when I return, I will pay back to whomsoever whatever is due and fulfill the rights, and I won't return to those sins again, then Allah Ta'ala will conceal his weaknesses of the past. But the person who touches the Hajre Aswad, and there is a great clamor that everybody wants to kiss Hajre Aswad, kiss it, it is sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But that person's weaknesses will then not remain concealed. Allah Ta'ala will expose it, no matter whether it's a Hafiz Sahab, Qari Sahab, Mufti Sahab, Haji Sahab, Tabligh Sahab or Khanqa Sahab, whatever he can be, and he could have made 100 Hajjas, but the person's sicknesses and weaknesses of the moral kind, you will find that it will get exposed. People will come to know very, very quickly after his Hajj and after his Umrahs that this person is still engaging in adultery, in fornication. This person is taking interest and giving interest. This person went so many times Umrah and came back, but he's abusing his wife, he's abusing his children. this person is still on drugs, is still on this, still on that. So many of those sins which were concealed in the past, but after touching the Hajar Aswad and coming, it will get exposed. Therefore, the mal of Madina Sharif, I have mentioned again many times, and I have told my friends many times who come and go, the mal of Madina Sharif, the wealth of Madina Sharif, is not what you put in your bags and bring back home. That is not the mal of Madina Sharif. That was manufactured in China, in Japan, in Hong Kong, and other parts of the world. There's nothing wrong if you bring a little bit of that for gifts to the family. But just packing up bags upon bags upon bags and say, this is what I have brought from Madina Sharif, then that is not the true mal of Madina Sharif. The real wealth and mal of Madina Sharif is the akhlaq, the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's charity, his generosity, his kindness, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's forgiveness, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's humility, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's politeness, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's magnanimity of his heart, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's fulfillment of the rights of his children, of his wives, and of the neighbors, and his care and concern for the poor, the needy, the destitute. That is the real wealth of Madina Sharif. When the person brings in his heart that kind of tawazu of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the shukr of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the sabr of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the zikr and askar of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the salat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when all that comes, then we say that this person has truly come back from Madina Sharif, because now whosoever he is going to deal with, they'll say, MashaAllah, you are the one that I can say that you truly made Hajj, or you truly went to Makkah and Madina Sharif and came back. But if the person comes back and he does things worse than what he did before, then we must know that that Hajj of his is not maqbool, that going of his is not maqbool, it is rejected. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must bless us all with ikhlas in all of our amal and actions. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must unite the hearts of the ummah around the globe. Allah ta'ala is the only one who can change the conditions, so we must turn towards him, beg of him, express our weakness, our helplessness, ask Allah ta'ala for, and inshallah Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will change the condition. So we must go on making dua to, and must go on making the effort to, inshallah Allah ta'ala will bring about a change. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.